I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah fireworks. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
The word of the day is confusion. A confusion over whether cities have legal authority under state law to ban personal fireworks. Cities all across Sully County are doing it. Midvale just did it. Conwood Heights just did it. Holiday just banned them. And Salt Lake City just banned them. And then we've got cities like Sandy City and Draper saying, I don't think state law allows for the ban. We're going to get TNT Fireworks. James Fuller, he runs TNT Fireworks, on the line in just a moment to ask him if he thinks cities are wrong or right under the law, and will he file suit over these bans?
I'll tell you this, they're devastating his business. Devastating his business. Now, you may say, well, yeah, but you don't realize how much it costs to fight wildfires. I understand that, folks. I get it. But let's not deny the fact that these bans are devastating this person's business. There's a very short window where you can sell fireworks and light off fireworks. The entire business model is built around this one month. And you ban it in cities all across the state, and you're putting people out of business.
James Fuller, you there?
I am. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning once again. It's good to have you back on the show. It's a bad week to be the guy peddling fireworks. You've got now a lot of cities, major cities, banning them, the personal fireworks within their boundaries. Do you believe cities have the authority to ban fireworks under the law?
You know, we are concerned about the actions, and we're taking a look at that. You said earlier in the show, we're so concerned about the church groups, the youth groups, the baseball teams. You know, these monies they raise, and you're right, it's a very small window. About 80% or 90% of revenues come from 6 days in the year. And so we have a responsibility to those that we partner with in your community to do our best to make sure we represent what the law was intended to do. So we're working and trying to do that in partnership with these communities. And we have to agree. There's a few communities we think are getting this right. Whether we like it or not, we don't necessarily agree at this point that the cities have the right to do these outright bans. That's just not what we thought the legislation was intended for. And I think we have a pretty good case for that. Now, we're hoping we can get to a better agreement, because no consumers are going to want to use fireworks. And we think the most important thing to do today, as representatives of the industry and as those that care about this industry and the opportunity to celebrate our independence like we have for 200 years, we want to make sure that we follow the law and we do it safely. And we think there's better resources being put towards education and making sure people are informed about the safe use of fireworks than we get entangled in a bunch of debates about what a law says and doesn't say 3 or 4 days before the holiday.
It seems to me, James, especially harsh, and you just barely touched on it, to come out with these bans just days before the season starts.
Well, that's right. You know, these orders have to go in very early in the year. People put sometimes we have partners who have mortgages on their homes that they put forward to finance this operation. These are small business owners. These are people right down the road from you trying to make a living, or even worse, these are people right down the road trying to help your son take the next step, or your daughter take the next step in their sport. Or it's a religious organization doing mission work. So we've got a responsibility here today to do our jobs. Sometimes that means you have to sit at a table and try to get people who disagree on something to come to some consensus, some kind of an even approach. And right now, I don't necessarily think we're getting that done for those small business owners and those community folks we represent. So we've got some work to do today.
So do you feel that Midvale City, Holiday City, Conwood Heights City, Salt Lake City, in their bans of personal fireworks within their city boundaries, just flat got it wrong?
You know, I'm not going to say that just yet, and I think that's a very thoughtful question you raise. And so I don't want to get into a he said, she said, but having served in a legislature before, having represented a number of communities and states in the United States Senate and also in the state legislature, I'm pretty good at reading legislation. I don't necessarily understand how the communities got to a place where they believe they could ban under the law. So we want to sit down with them. We're trying to do that now. We have retained counsel, and we're working with them in an effort not to take this any further than let's get to a thoughtful approach that we can all agree upon will protect the community, prevent wildfire risk, but still enable what we believe is under the law, which is that these communities have a right to enjoy, these consumers have the right to enjoy certain fireworks, and to do it during a window of time. And we as a company believe they can do it responsibly if we make sure they're educated about the restrictions and they understand where it's legal and where it's not. So we're going to work with those communities. I think we might have a chance. I'm very optimistic. And as I said, I have a lot of folks we have to represent from our family company of 100 years. And we're gonna do our best to represent their interests and try to get this taken care of so those communities can keep going forward with their celebrations.
Have you filed suit?
No, we have not. And that's not necessarily our first step as a family-owned company. We've been doing this for 100 years. We've worked with communities. We've worked with governors. You know, we sell fireworks in arid communities. We sell fireworks in New Mexico, Texas, Arizona, Nevada. So we are very used to and comfortable, and we recognize and respect there are times when fireworks may not be appropriate under extreme drought conditions in certain locations. We're used to that. What we would ask is that the community leaders and the governor, quite frankly, step to the table with us and let's work on a thoughtful response. Let me ask you a question. If they make fireworks illegal, do you think the communities and the families enjoy fireworks are going to go down the road and buy the fireworks and shoot them off? And now you're making a law-abiding family man or a law-abiding mother break the law because they want to celebrate something they've done for since they were kids. Do you think they're going to stop using fireworks because there's a ban? Now, that creates an illegal situation, too. So we don't want that to happen. We don't want parents feeling like they're breaking the law, doing something thoughtfully smart in their backyard, and throwing off a couple of fountains in their backyard. I don't think that necessarily represents the immense wildfire risk that the governor has put forward today.
What always frightens me about bans is the people that are going to do it are going to do it anyway.
That's right.
Often what they'll do is they'll kind of hide in the shadows or go somewhere where they're not seen. And those are typically more dangerous places than when you can do it in the open, in a very safe open park that has, you know, very little threat.
Exactly. And that's what worries us, right? Because all of a sudden you create this shadow requirement of a parent. Just think about you being a parent telling your 12-year-old boy and your 10-year-old daughter, no fireworks this year. We can't do what we've done since you're a baby. Because there's this wildfire risk, and they're living in downtown Salt Lake City with a backyard that's green and watered. I'm sorry. I think we don't want to put parents and consumers in that position. No. I think we need to respect and be responsible. I do believe that's super important. We need to be vigilant, but I don't necessarily think we want to make things illegal for folks that are very used to doing these types of activities.
James Fuller with TNT Fireworks, before I let you go, we are in a drought. It's been called a mega drought. We're allowing lawns to die out. Several cities have banned, and they say they have the right under the law to ban fireworks. If these cities don't come to the table and talk to you about this, your company about this, and you say you haven't filed a lawsuit, are you willing to fight this out in court to make fireworks legal in these cities before the 4th of July?
It's a good question. I feel like we're going to have to leave all options on the table as we talk as a leadership team. We have a responsibility to those we represent in your community, and I think we're going to uphold our responsibility. That's our tradition. That's what we stand for at TNT Fireworks. The Anderson family has done that for 100 years. They're going to keep doing it. We're going to leave every option on the table, and I appreciate you asking that question.
James Fuller, thank you so much for joining us with TNT Fireworks.
I appreciate him jumping on the line with us. We'll make sure that we keep our listeners posted on the latest developments regarding fireworks and the bans and the controversy over whether cities have legal authority to ban personal fireworks.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.